So I'm Eric Van Sibyl. I'm an oceanographer at Imperial College London.
All right, so tell me about your past work on this really briefly. I know you've done some modeling to try to project where wreckage from MH370 will end up, correct?
Yes. Well, so I study how plastic moves through the ocean. So I'm really interested in how any type of debris moves through the ocean all over the world. And, of course, the debris of MH370 is just like many other types of debris. So it drifts with the currents. I'm interested in how the currents move stuff around. And what I did is I made a website, adrift.org.au, where anybody can go online and look at how their debris moves from any point in the ocean to any other point in the ocean. And we're assuming that the plane debris would move just like all this other debris. So that's what I'm working on.
Okay. Now, when you heard this news of the possible debris washing up on Indian Ocean Island, how optimistic were you? What was your reaction to this news?
Well, I was quite surprised. Although when I did the analysis on the model that I use, it is certainly not implausible that something that got into the ocean on the eastern side of the Indian Ocean actually made its way all the way to La Réunion Island in 17 months. Interestingly, I think that the search zone where they are now looking for the plane is rather elongated in latitude, so it stretches all the way from close to the equator to quite far south. If this would be part of the plane, then it would really suggest that the plane would have gone into the water quite far northward. So really on the northernmost tip of that search zone, and it would really exclude that that the plane would have gone in the water very far southward, or maybe even in the Southern Ocean.
So you think it's possible that if this is confirmed to be a part of MH370, that the search location could be changed as a result of this?
Yes, I think so. I'm pretty sure that the search team in Australia has a lot of government scientists, government oceanographers who are poring over their data now and are looking, well, if this would have been a piece of plane, where could it have come from 17 months ago? And that's not an easy task to do, because over 17 months, the ocean is so chaotic and it is so much turbulent that actually, if you start out somewhere and you backtrack where the plane might have hit the water, you end up with an area that's probably a few hundred miles in diameter. So it's still going to be a very, very large area.
So you're saying you would be able to backtrack just based on where this debris showed up to a location within several hundred miles?
Yes, I think so. So depending on how accurate current data we have, but I think we are pretty good on that, we might be able to backtrack it all the way back 17 months. In principle, the physics of it is easy. The problem is that just chaos theory tells us that we won't be able to do that more accurately than a few hundred miles. So still, we would even if this would be a part of a plane, that doesn't mean that we know exactly where it hit the water and that we are much closer to finding the black boxes.
Can you tell me about a little how you would be able to backtrack that? I mean, I know we're not oceanographers here, but
yeah.
I guess there are currents in the ocean which follow a set pattern, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the variables that could change things up?
So there's essentially two types of currents in the ocean. There's the large-scale, very predictable currents. And that's a bit like if, for instance, you live in the U.S. Somewhere on the West Coast, you know that you're always going to have westerly winds. So on any day, the chances of having a wind from a certain direction are pretty high. But then there's variability on top of that. There's small-scale variability. And the same is in the ocean. The ocean is full of small-scale whirlwinds, just like the winds can change any day from the other. So in general, we roughly know how the ocean moves around. We have a good idea of the big picture circulation of the ocean, just as we have a good idea of the big picture circulation of the atmosphere. But actually predicting how exactly the ocean currents are is just as complicated as predicting how the weather would be in, say, 2 months. We wouldn't know that. So there's a horizon that weather predictors can use. The weatherman will never tell you the weather more than a week or so in advance. So can oceanographers really only get a good handle of the ocean currents maybe a month in advance or so, or a month backward. So So the cool thing about physics and about ocean currents and atmosphere and everything is that it doesn't really matter whether you go forward in time or backward in time. We can just rewind the ocean if you want and reverse time and go backward. The problem is exactly the same problem that we have to solve.
Well, that's pretty fascinating, I think. So you're pretty positive that this, while it may not lead to anything like an exact location of a crash site, is a pretty big clue and much bigger than anything else that investigators had to work with before now.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And I think the other interesting thing will be that if you find more debris, because of course, if you find, so first of all, I wouldn't expect much more debris to land on this beach, probably not even on this island. Because of all this chaos and because of the uncertainty in the currents and the turbulence, the debris field that has started at maybe a few hundred feet in diameter is now a few hundred miles in diameter. So it's extremely dispersed, it's extremely thin, and really the number of pieces of debris per square mile or so is really, really small. So the chances of multiple pieces of debris ending up on the same beach are pretty low. However, it might also be that we see pieces of debris washing up on other beaches, and that would be really interesting because then you can actually trace that those back too, and then you can look at the overlapping region, and that might be one way to actually narrow down the search region pretty quickly. If you find pieces of debris on completely different beaches, on completely different parts of the Indian Ocean, you could actually do some kind of what we call triangulation, essentially, where you look at what the overlap is between the backward pathways, and that would really help.
And one more aspect I wanted you to address is the timing of when this was found. Of course, we don't know exactly when it washed up on the beach, but presumably if this was a relatively recent development, does that seem to match up with the timing of how long it would take to travel these thousands of kilometers?
Yeah. So within a few weeks or so, again, because the whole debris field is now a few hundred miles in diameter, we can't pinpoint exactly when it would have expected to be on the beach, let alone because we don't know where the debris came into the ocean. So to some extent, it's a bit of an ill-posed problem. You either want to know whether the timing is correct or you want to know where it came into the ocean and you assume the timing is correct. But the point that you make is a valid one. We need to know when the piece of debris actually washed up on the beach, and that is not necessarily when it actually was found on the beach. It might have been there for a while. I personally don't know how busy this beach is, how many people visit it. But if it's a very remote beach, there's no saying into how long it's been on the beach, and that actually also complicates the backward trajectory calculation, of course, because we don't know how long it's been in the water.